This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, my friends, we are halfway home on a Monday, Victory Monday, here on Ben and Woods 97.3 The Fan. Hope you all had a great weekend. Mine was certainly interesting. If you missed it, go back and listen at 6. Yeah, it was a very transformative foreplay this morning, certainly. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer of the program. And to my left is Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
I did have a nice weekend. Did not end up in the hospital like you did.
Yeah.
But I had a nice weekend. I played in our member tournament at Goat Hill Park.
Okay.
With Jack Collier.
Oh, Jack Collier is the guy that has mopped the floor with you every time you've played him.
You know, if you can't beat him,
join him.
And I did, and Jack was great. We qualified. We finished second in our flight and advanced to the big championship at the end, the horse race. And I must say, you guys do fantasy camp every year, and you get that chance to kind of vicariously, you know, you're not a pro or a big leaguer, but you feel like it. And I think for a golfer,
just a taste.
A golfer playing in a tournament like that, at like a big member when everyone's there, and then advancing, if you don't follow golf. So a horse race is essentially they take all the top teams that qualify, and you all go to the same hole, and you play in front of everybody.
Oh.
So
how many people are we talking here?
We had, I think there were 18 teams at the end left. So we've got all the players, all the carts are kind of driving around, and it's alternate shots. So every shot is huge pressure. And I've got to go up to the tee. You know, they announce, all right, Ben Higgins up to the tee, and everyone's there. So it almost feels like you're walking up to the first tee. Like a well-attended PGA Tour event. But
yeah.
You're used to watch, you know, at most, you're used to having three people watching you hit a golf shot.
Almost.
The other three people in your group.
Yeah.
And that's it. Ever. No one ever watches anybody else play golf. But now, all of a sudden, 70, 80 people watching you hit a golf shot. And
it's no joke.
It truly gives you some appreciation. And it's good to remember with what we do, having to be, you know, critical sometimes of professional athletes and knowing it's not easy to go and perform in front of a large crowd,
no.
You know, athletically, especially for, you know, rank amateurs like myself. I thought I got up. I actually made good contact. I was worried, like, I mean, you know, the thoughts go through your head. What if I duff one, top one right off, hit a ground ball, you know, shank one into the trees,
oh, yeah,
hit someone with the ball because there's a lot of people around. You get those bad thoughts that are in your head. And I actually did. I hit one well off the tee. It's the first hole, if you remember, at the go. You kind of have to cut it. I hit it too straight, and it ended up just off the fairway in the left. And I put Jack kind of near a small tree, and he tried to punch it out, and he did. He got it up kind of near the green, but I then had to chip it over like a bunker on the third shot with another, you know, everyone's now surrounding me. And it's one of those tense, like little, I got to pop this up in the air. I made contact. I landed on the green, but I hit it too hard and it rolled off the edge. And we made bogey and were eliminated on the first hole, which was disappointing. But man, your heart gets going, you know, when you have to perform something in front of an audience. It's not easy. And I don't consider this. I know we have an audience and all the tier ones are there, but this is what we do and I'm comfortable. Maybe that's what it feels like when you're a baseball player or a golfer. It's simply what you do, so you don't get that nerves. But boy, I certainly had them. You know, that adrenaline was pumping through my veins and going, please don't mess this up. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't embarrass yourself.
Like Wyatt says in the chat, that's why closers are a different breed. No question.
Yeah.
It takes the mental fortitude.
Is that not the worst? I mean, knowing if you do your job.
It's in my hands.
But if you do your job, everyone goes, you're supposed to. But on the days that you don't, you're just the GOAT. It's really hard. You have to be so good for so long, like Trevor or Mariano Rivera, before you really get your accolades as a closer.
No doubt.
Otherwise, you're just doing what, of course, you're supposed to do.
I mean, you think about guys like Craig Kimbrell. You think about guys like Kenley Jansen. We've seen some really good closers since we've been kids. You know, honestly, like the hundreds of them. Great, like guys you consider good. But when you think of Kenley Jansen, I don't know how many saves he has. I know it's a buttload. But in my mind, I'm like, I remember him blowing a bunch. Craig Kimbrell, I'm like, he had a good run, you know. But I remember him blowing a bunch. To really stand out to those next level guys, the Trevors, the Marianos, man, I mean, you have to put together such a resume to do it.
Good God. Kenley Jansen, 462 saves.
Yeah.
38 Ls.
Yeah.
So figure most of those are blown saves.
Yep. crazy.
It's a great career.
It's a great career. But you, I think of Kenley Jansen, I'm like, eh, he doesn't scare me too much, right? I mean, right. I think that's just the
Did the Padres get him earlier this season?
Yeah, I mean, that's just like the way you feel, right? But you're like, ooh, Hoffy. And,
that's a
and
lot
Rivera
of saves. I didn't realize he was that far up.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's pretty nuts. That's one of the weirdest. Think about a field goal kicker, too. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. If my kid came to me and said, Dad, I want to play football. Your natural inclination is...
Fourth all time.
Yeah. Your natural inclination is, oh, cool, go be a kicker. I would never want to watch my kids kick field goals. Ever. Never. It'd be the worst, most excruciating experience of my life to watch my kid miss a 37-yarder to win a game. And for them, too. But yeah, man, it's nuts. We had our first flag football game on Friday. Bo's playing flag for the summer. You want to talk about... I'm the defensive coordinator. I know nothing. Nothing. But my
3-4-4-3.
Our coach, Billy's like, you're doing defense. I need somebody that can yell. And I go, oh, that I can do.
All right, boys, today we're doing nickel.
I can do that. I can yell. And we took an early lead, and then they caught up. And then my defense in the second half came back. Two big interceptions by my man, Luca, and ran the last one back for a pick six. So we won the game. We are the TCU Horned Frogs is our team, and we played the Baylor Bears. Big old school Southwest.
Yeah, Big 12 games.
Yeah, Big 12
here. Okay.
Big 12 action. But I'm telling you, my heart on the field, when the defense needed a stop to win the game, my heart, I could hear my heart beating out of my chest. I'm like, what is going on right now? It was crazy. But we ended up getting the dub. Bo got to play quarterback the whole third quarter. It was awesome. He missed a handoff and he wanted to die. He walked off in tears. I'm like, buddy, you're fine. It's tough because we're yelling numbers at the kids. If you've ever coached flag football, so they have their little wristbands and they've got their numbers and they know.
You actually have the wristbands with the plays?
Yeah, so that it's easy. Like, hey, Ben, you're green. Paulie, you're orange and I'm red. So we call play number one. You look down. Okay, I run a fly or I run a hook. But we're out there yelling numbers at them. The ref is on the sideline counting down the number of seconds. So he's going, 10. 5, and the kids are, they're 7. They're looking, and they're like...
That's like the play clock?
Yes, yes. Somebody's...
Because you don't have a scoreboard.
They keep looking at their wrist, and he's like, 3, 2. And
do you get a lot of delay game penalties?
The kids are, they are panicked. And you see them, like, panicking as he's going, 10! And it is...
And then you're worried they're going to look at their play card like, 10? What's 10? We don't have 10 plays.
It's so... It's so wheels off, this flag football, bro. It is so, so wheels off. But it was awesome, dude. It was so fun to watch them play. And they're getting good, man. They're getting good. We got practice. We got a doubleheader this week. I'm like, holy cow. But, yeah, man, it was a fun weekend.
All right, Paulie, you do anything this weekend of note?
You know, I did yesterday. I built, and by built, I mean I assembled, I put together a new desk.
Proud of you.
And got rid of the old one, which is... sturdy, heavy wood desk. Went with the electric desk that raises and lowers, and it is a game changer. I prepped last night's show standing at my desk. Standing is such a better way to get job done. It's just better for your back. It's easier
posture.
To stand. It's better posture. I'm so excited to get to use it more often now. I wish we had standing desks here at the radio station. I would stand the whole 4 hours if I could.
We're the only studio in the building that has the sit-down board. And
no, they don't believe them here at Odyssey, standing up, except for all
except
the other
for
studios,
every other one. It's very strange. Now, the guy that we replaced here, I wonder, because he always says, they built that studio for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder how involved in the specs of the studio he was. Now, he wasn't here long at all. He was here for about 3 weeks.
My mic doesn't go
for I had them change my mic when I had some back issues that I can stand, but like my computer is now too far down for me to actually see it. So,
I can
so
now, stand and just talk like this.
If I'm hunched over,
well, that, you don't want to be
that's
hunched
not
over.
Great
get
either.
Your heads right on a Monday.
And I can go wide.
Yeah, you get the wide stance
that's
going.
That's better.
Yeah.
But now everyone's looking right at my... Junk. No, it's did it follow me up?
Yeah, okay. Follow you up. You're all good. Right. Yeah.
Maybe we could stand a little bit.
Do a little more standing. Probably be good for all of our health.
Now, I asked the engineers if it's possible. Could we potentially move this studio to one of the other vacant ones? And they said, no, not going to happen. So we're here. They say sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yep.
And it's worry because I do sit a lot during the day.
Imagine sitting a lot and having smoked for many years. That's how I feel. So now
it's
apparently,
great, dude. It's got little buttons on the side. You can preset different heights if you want to stand, sit, whatever. I was a little nervous when you buy something like that online. You have no idea what you're going to get. The reviews are all good. I was even more nervous when I was like, it took me about 40 minutes to put together. It was not very hard to assemble. And got it all plugged in, hooked up, and it works, and it's fantastic.
Now, I'm getting a lot of grief for a picture that appeared on Instagram over the weekend. Did you guys see this?
Took a picture over the weekend.
Our friend Abby. And her husband?
Scott and Abby. I saw why did you get grief for that one? Maybe I was distracted knowing, hey, I know those people.
Look at it again if you get the chance. It's on my Instagram feed, and you may notice something on there.
Well, if it's a story, I can't see it anymore.
Oh, is it gone?
I've already seen it once. It's so hard to go back and find stories.
If it was within 24 hours.
It's gone. All right, what, because I remember the picture, but I don't remember what you got grief about.
Well, people in the chat are saying, we all saw what you were smuggling in your pants on Saturday. I believe it was an optical illusion. It did look like I had stuffed a sausage.
Zucchini.
Down the side of my leg. I mean, to the likes of which I went, oh, all right. Well, I was feeling pretty good that day, but you didn't see that? I probably not.
Focused down there. So
I was tagged in Discord.
The weirdest part was that I had multiple men in my chat saying, whoa, what's that about? Multiple. Like, probably a dozen. Well, here.
Oh, I see it.
Okay, here's the picture.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
okay,
look at that.
It's more side to side than up and down. It's kind of a...
I can hold it up to the chat.
Little, there you go. No, not quite.
No, didn't work.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's a little too hard to see.
It's not.
It was too hard to see, Paulie.
Oh God.
I didn't notice that. I didn't take the picture. I didn't post it originally, so I did not have
pants pleated. Cross pleated.
No, I didn't. I didn't have anything. I was not carrying like a big salami home with me from, you know, the market. It was very weird.
Interesting how the start of each of the halves of our show is eventually devolved to below Woods's waist.
It's true.
Every single time.
It's true. The weirder part was a dozen men commenting on it in my DMs. A dozen. Whoa, all right. That's why they call you Woodsy.
That is weird.
It's very, very weird. If I saw it, I wouldn't have thought to comment on that.
Well,
you're looking at me funny.
I'm not. Well, I think guys do have a self-consciousness about it. Like,
hey, if I saw that, I'd be pretty self-conscious too, if I were you or anybody else.
I mean, seeing that picture, that's not even really that realistic.
Speak for yourself. I'm not going to do one thing to dissuade your notion of that. Anybody that commented, okay? Not one thing.
Just talking the angle just seemed a little off.
Well, you know, it doesn't always do what it's supposed to do.
I mean, at the very least, it would have been extremely uncomfortable for you.
Like, it you is may hard. Need to go get checked out by another doctor.
It is tough. It is tough to get through the day sometimes.
All right, coming up in the second half of Ben and Woods.
Hi, Nurse Mia. I'm back.
Hi, yes, I'm here. Oh, my back's killing me. I know you know why now.
Coming up here in the second half of Ben and Woods, we'll have our Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, joining us at the bottom of the hour as we go back to the Padres weekend. We really didn't talk much about Friday's game at all in the first half of the program, other than we mentioned Paulie getting to marvel at Bobby Witt Jr.'s home run off Nick Pivetta in the first inning. The three-run shot, though, was the big difference. Jonathan India in the top of the fifth inning.
Who turned into the greatest hitter in the world that night. My God. And the Pivetta, Jonathan India game.
You know, Pivetta, the knock when we acquired him, and we really hadn't seen it much in the first half of the season, was going to give up some big home runs. And that was a game where, obviously, giving up a couple of big home runs hurt him. Just letting the, you know, his curveball hang a little bit too much in a couple of instances with runners on base, especially against India. That was the big difference. Knocked out after 4 2/3 innings. 4 earned runs. Padres rallied back in that game. Remember, they came back to tie it at 4, and you thought, probably felt pretty good at that point, like you did yesterday,
really did.
That the Padres were going to come back and win it. But unfortunately, Kansas City scored twice off Jason Adam in the top of the 8th inning. And even though Manny Machado hit a solo home run in the bottom of the 9th, it was not enough as the Padres dropped a 6-5 decision. But they were, you know, they were close to taking all 3 games in that series. And here we are now, and we can talk more about the Nationals coming to town in a little bit. But 23 games into the stretch of 26 games in 27 days. The Padres win this series, take 2 out of 3. They will go 13-13 in those games. Not great, but certainly didn't hurt yourself.
It's the definition
too badly
of weathering the storm.
That is the, yeah, that is the, we are treading water.
So, you know, they've done what we kind of asked of them, or at least have come close to doing it. I guess we have to wait and see what happens over the next 3 days. And it's not like, you know, automatically the schedule becomes easy, but they got 2 off days in quick succession coming up, chance to reset the bullpen. And, you know, they did kind of weather the storm a bit going forward in a tough part of the season without Michael King, without Yu Darvish. They've kind of weathered the storm. Now, they've lost their spot in the playoffs. Right now, Milwaukee is holding the 3rd playoff spot, but
crazy,
only by half, you know, only by game, half a game. So they're still absolutely in the thick of things after this tough stretch, you know, or close to the end of this tough stretch, which is important.
Martin says starting to look like 2023. I disagree
too.
They get swept in 23 in that series, period. I believe they were swept by the Royals in 2023. I believe I was there, and I believe they were swept at home by the Royals, if I'm not mistaken. Could have been the Angels.
2023, they would have played them here. You went in 2022,
yeah, here.
I think. Yeah.
Here.
Oh, you went to that series. Yeah, not the one you went to
too.
Kansas City.
No, the one here, if I'm not mistaken. No, I feel like they lose all of those games this weekend, period, in 2023.
Yeah. 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 Maybe not the second one, but they definitely lose the series.
Yep.
All right, we need a contestant for Take on Woods, first game of the week. We still have a great grand prize this month of a getaway to Resorts World Las Vegas, spa passes, and pool dining credits. If you'd like to play our musical trivia game, call now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Our game is coming up, and then Dennis Lynn at the bottom of the hour as Ben and Woods continues here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, if you're just getting up, getting ready for work, thinking about grabbing a coffee on your way to work, can I recommend Better Buzz? Try the Summer Flings menu that is at every Better Buzz location in San Diego right now. They've amped up their best drink ever with the coconut best drink ever, topped with coconut cold cream and toasted coconut flakes. You can also try some of the new food items like the Blue Crush Acai Bowl. Love the yogurt that we got last week, too, when Better Buzz came in. I've had the horchata latte. Paulie had that one last week. That was really, really good.
Delicious.
Very delicious. Yeah, a lot of great options. The coffee is really on point at Better Buzz. Check out the whole menu. You can go online to betterbuzzcoffee.com. Download their app. Makes it easier to order. You can just pick it up as you're driving by any of their many locations here in San Diego County. Check them out today. It's Better Buzz Coffee at betterbuzzcoffee.com. I actually have a special surprise in store for today's contestant on Take on Woods. In addition to our normal chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. But I'll save that for the end. Let's get to our game, though. It's time to play Take on Woods. Take on Woods brought to you by Bay Alarm. Security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. But who will it be that's going to get that special surprise? Oh, I hate we have full phone lines.
Let's go. How about line 5?
5. All right. Caller, who's this?
This is Brian.
Brian, would you like to play Take on Woods and get a special surprise as well?
Absolutely.
All right, let's do it. You'll have 60 seconds to answer 5 musical trivia challenges going head-to-head against Woods. If you beat or tie him, you will qualify for our grand prize drawing. 2-night stay at Resorts World Las Vegas, 2 spa passes, and food and beverage credits at any of their 5 elevated pools right there on the Strip. Again, the Awana Spa, Pauly approved, one of the largest co-ed spa facilities in Las Vegas. To book your summer stay, visit rwlasvegas.com. First, the game, though. Don't hang up either way, though, because we got a little surprise at the end. Here are your choices of category. On a Roll. Those are 5 2-second songs that begin with the word roll. MTV One Hit Wonders. That's pretty self-explanatory. And our new category, All White Now. 5 song titles that include the word white. So, On a Roll, MTV One Hit Wonders, or All White Now. Brian?
Let's do On a Roll.
On a Roll. All right. We got a musical category today. Again, we've got 5 2-second songs whose titles begin with the word roll. That means Paulie's doing all the work here. He's going to play music for you. Short clips of songs. You need to identify the song title and the artist to score as many of the 5 as you can. Then Woodsy goes and we'll compare scores. Brian, you good to go?
I'm good.
All right. Let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Remember, 5 different songs. On a Roll is the category. Brian, your time begins when Paul plays song number 1. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Pass.
Song number 2.
There's a fire starting in my heart.
Rolling in the Deep, Adele.
Correct. Song number 3.
Roll With It, Steve Winwood.
Correct. Song number 4.
Look around your world, pretty baby.
Pass.
Song number 5.
As soon as you are able.
REO Speedwagon.
Correct.
Trying to sing it. Pass.
Go back to song number 1.
Roll Up, Wiz Khalifa.
No, it's not. Song number 4.
Look around the world.
We got 2.5. You got Rolling in the Deep, Adele, and Roll With It by Steve Winwood. That was Roll With the Changes by REO Speedwagon. The other two, Roll Out, Ludacris, and Roll To Me by Del Amitri. I wonder how Woods is going to do. But stay on the line, Brian, because you got a surprise at the end either way. All right, Woods, we got an all 2-second song category. But you don't know what the category is. Brian's score is locked in. Let's put 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Brian. Pass. Song number 2.
There's a fire.
Rolling in the Deep by Adele.
Correct. Song number 3.
Roll With It by Steve Winwood.
Correct. Song number 4.
Look around the world, pretty baby.
Sister Hazel. No?
No.
Crap.
Song number 5.
As soon as you are able.
REO Speedwagon. Time for Me to Fly?
Incorrect. Ooh. Song number 1.
God.
Big one now.
Roll This Taint.
Ooh. You got the category. That was Roll Out by Ludacris. Roll To Me by Del Amitri was the one you thought was Sister Hazel.
Del Amitri, man.
And Roll With The Changes by REO Speedwagon, which means we got a 2-2 tie. Oh, same two. Brian, you're qualified for the trip to Las Vegas. But just for playing today on Take On Woods, we are also giving you a $50 Better Buzz gift card. I was just talking about Better Buzz. They're coming in hot with their Summer Flings menu. Try the coconut best drink ever, the cult classic with a tropical twist, or the coconut matcha, light, refreshing, and totally Instagrammable. If you need an extra boost, go for the tropical Buzz Energy with pineapple, coconut, and a can of Buzz Energy. And don't forget about the bowls, the Blue Crush and OG Deluxe Acai bowls stacked with fruit, granola, all the good stuff to keep you cool this summer. Love at first sip for a limited time only at Better Buzz Coffee. Stay on line, Ryan. Paulie will get all your information for not only the grand prize drawing, but the $50 Better Buzz gift card as well during our break.
Del Amitri, man.
That category was called On a Roll.
Okay, On a Roll.
Yeah. You must have played Del Amitri on one of those stations, right?
I don't think so.
Never? Not in your purview?
No.
You heard the song, though. You recognized
it. Oh, yeah.
I
swear I thought that was Sister Hazel.
I feel like I was in every 90s movie ever.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back, and Dennis Lynn, our Lynn Sider, will join us. We'll talk a little more Padres baseball after a 2-3 series win over the Kansas City Royals. That is coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Well, as you guys know, my innards may be thrashed, but my joints feel great. Thank you to QC Kinetics. I wish that I could go to QC Kinetics and get the treatment and feel better for what I currently have, but I don't know what it is. But when my wrists were in a severe amount of pain a couple of years ago, I heard about QC Kinetics, went in. I was skeptical. I will tell you that right now. I was like, I don't know, man. I have no idea if this is going to work. And now, man, it's been so great to do all the things that I love to do. Playing the guitar was one of them. Certainly couldn't do it with really painful wrists. Picking up my kids, throwing them around, playing baseball, playing golf, doing anything now I can do, lifting weights, all thanks to QC Kinetics. This is not a Band-Aid for the pain, okay? This actually gets you better. It's not like a cortisone shot where you go in and you're fine for a few months. This is long-lasting relief, and I'm so thankful that they exist, so thankful for what they do. Revolutionary treatments give your body long-term relief, cellular-level treatments. So no more masking the pain. They're going after the very source of it. Say goodbye to the chronic pain. Start living your best life again this summer. Find out if you're a good candidate. The consultation totally free. Call QC Kinetics today at 619-614-PAIN, 619-614-PAIN. Two locations for you here in San Diego, Torrey Hills and Hillcrest. It's 619-614-PAIN. They are QC Kinetics.
Was Mike Schilt actually right about Xander? We will talk to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic about Xander's recent surge in production and more. He is standing by, and we will get to Dennis right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Lynnsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
All right, well, we had Dennis Lynn for a second, and then he just...
Oh, we lost him?
Disappeared. Oh. We lost him. So we got the intro. Everything's been played. We're ready to talk to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Paulie's just got to find him again.
Well, listen, I don't want to tell Dennis or anybody how to do their jobs. I don't really like when people tell me how to do my job, but I did tweet yesterday after the game. I said, please, nobody in the press needs to corner Xander and ask him, hey, what have you been working on? What's different? How have you changed your approach? Don't say a word to him. Don't look at him when he comes into the clubhouse. Just let him keep doing it.
Too late.
Did you do it? Did you ask him already?
Dennis already.
Denny asked him.
Dennis already seemed to have talked to Xander because he's got a new piece in The Athletic this morning.
Well, I don't want to tell Dennis how to do his job.
And it's titled, Xander Bogaerts has underperformed for the Padres. But he's also been quite unlucky as we welcome Dennis Lynn to the program. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, guys.
What's up, D-Lynn?
I'm always open to suggestions. Please tell me how to do my job.
Okay.
I get a little... uninspired, so
I got it.
I could always use a little.
Well, Woods is very superstitious, which you really need to kind of ignore most of the time because there's no basis in actual reality or fact for what he's asking you to do.
More of just, hey, if it's going well, let's just accept it and go with it.
So, but Mike Schilt has been arguing for a while that Xander should really be producing better than he has based on his metrics. Woods and I finally kind of reached the breaking point last week and went, we don't even think he looks that good at the plate.
Right.
And then the next day, of course, started looking much, much better at the plate. What was your takeaway from the research that you did and the people that you talked to, Dennis, on Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah, I mean, like you guys, I think we've all been seeing he, for most of the season, just kind of had looked like a shell of himself. And I mean, this goes back a ways. Obviously, we saw first couple of years in San Diego were pretty underwhelming for Xander as well. But after, you know, like hearing Mike make this point multiple times, you look it up on just his Baseball Savant page, Xander's page, that is. He's been pretty unlucky this year. And it hasn't been like this, you know, the last 3 years. But this year in particular, you know, his batting average is way lower than what it theoretically should be based on just the quality of contact and, you know, how hard he's hitting the ball and how often he's hitting line drives. And I don't know if it's all the ballpark. I mean, Fenway Park and Petco Park are not exactly polar opposites, but they're kind of on, you know, far ends of the spectrum from each other. But yeah, he's been, to his credit, yeah, he's been making a lot of solid contact and a lot of hard contact and just hasn't been rewarded for it. And then finally, you know, over the past four games or so, you're kind of seeing him finally get rewarded for it. So maybe it was only a matter of time, but I think, you know, maybe he's switched up a few things inside the batting cage. He's always tinkering, so it's hard to know exactly what. But I think it's also, you know, if you remember, he got a little bit hurt a couple weeks ago, where it kind of re-aggravated that shoulder that he fractured last year. And he said yesterday, just talked to him after the game, kind of figured out that, you know, if he's sliding or diving a little too much, that can, you know, kind of get things flared up again. So maybe he's being a little bit smarter about some of his work, but that's one thing with Xander, you can never fault him for not doing enough work. So I think it's just a guy who's got a lot of talent still and a lot of work ethic. It's just finally paying off for him.
You know what's impressed me the most about Xander Bogaerts? I said it earlier in the show, and I wanted to belabor the point. His takes have been as good, if not better, than his swings in this little hot streak. I mean, he has laid off some pitches that early in the season he is offering at, ass out, swinging at, and he is spitting on every one of them.
Tatis and Manny are doing better, too, on all of that.
No doubt. I think there's been a concerted effort to swing at fewer pitches. Now, if Luis Arraez could do that, that'd be great. But then again, sometimes he hits those for doubles. It's hard to corral that young man. But with Xander, some of his takes this weekend were, like I said, as impressive as some of his swings.
Yeah, that's a great point. He's chasing outside the strike zone less than ever in his career. And, you know, he's obviously had a long career to this point and had a lot of success in the past. But, you know, if you're a little bit older and maybe, yeah, just play this game is a good thing. Actually, it almost always is a good thing. But yeah, he's seeing the ball well. He acknowledged that yesterday too. But yeah, I mean, if you're not going to be hitting for a ton of power and you're, you know, kind of at the stage in your career that he is, I think, you know, he's showing the ability to evolve a little bit and, you know, take some pitches. And not that he ever was like a bad plate discipline guy, but he's taking it to a new level this year. And I think that's another thing that you have to commend him for doing.
I love the quote that you got in the piece from Xander when he said, "I'm never big on unlucky. Throughout my whole career, I've been very fortunate. You know, things going my way." This is definitely a year where it's been very weird, unlike me, kind of. Doesn't matter where I hit, it's just right at someone. I like the attitude, though, that you don't feel like you've been an unlucky person, because a lot of people get into that woods, you know, that negative spiral where you just feel like you're unlucky, and then you start creating your own bad luck.
No question.
When you feel that way all the time.
No question.
Yeah. Dennis, I also wanted to ask you about the lineup change that Mike Shildt made yesterday. He was so, you know, so doggedly determined to keep his lineup going, and he had some comments about why he made the change, and he had been pondering it for a while. Do you think he'll stick with this one now for as, you know, maybe as long as he stuck with the first one?
I think so. He acknowledged it himself yesterday. He likes a pretty consistent lineup, and we've obviously seen that over his time as a manager of the Padres. But yeah, I mean, if you just pair, you know, Tatis and Merrill at the top of the lineup, I think it's a really good combo, and probably a combo that a lot of, you know, fans and, you know, media are wondering why he hadn't gone there earlier. I mean, Merrill looked like he was actually going to be like the number three hitter after all the time he spent there in spring training, and then, you know, he comes out as the cleanup guy, and they kind of stuck that way for a long time. But I just think the dynamism of those two at the top of the lineup, and Luis's ability to put bats to ball and drive runs in, and, you know, make things happen if those guys get on base, I think it's a good formula. So yeah, I was wondering why maybe it hadn't been done earlier, but, you know, to Mike's credit, he had been thinking about it before Jackson got the concussion, and yeah, finally yesterday was, I guess, a good time to do it.
And any other rumor mills going on in your world, Dennis, about potential ads? You know, we got people in the chat saying, man, AJ's got to make a move now. And, you know, one thing I just want to remind everybody of is, you know, you need two. You know, you've got to be a willing partner to want to trade with. And I think when you're in a position like the Padres are, 29 other teams also know what the San Diego Padres need, right? They're not just, yeah, we could stand to pick up a bullpen arm here or there. It's no, there's a glaring need at left field and potentially catcher too. I saw Maldi has like a 47 WRC plus right now. I mean, it you know, a backup catcher. They know that, and so when they know what you need, Dennis, it makes it harder to get a deal done.
Exactly, like leverage wise, AJ Preller's not in the best spot. I mean, you can see that for other teams too who have glaring needs, but you know, he's got multiple glaring needs right now, and there are a lot of teams who still feel like they're in it. Like, I'm sure, I think Mike Hazen was quoted recently saying, you know, his inclination is still to go for it, even though, you know, he's on multiple key pitchers and he's behind the Padres, even in the NL West. So that kind of tells you just how a lot of the league feels, not just him, about, you know, where your team stands. So if you got teams who are not exactly willing to trade guys right now, even if they're, you know, below the Padres in the standing, it's just going to be really hard to do business right now. And yeah. I think what I hear, like, Preller's still inclined to, you know, keep waiting a little more before, just kind of see how all the needs shake out before he makes a move. And yeah, you can argue that that's, you know, maybe a little bit crazy if you're, you know, pretty close in the division. You really, really need help right now. But again, you don't want to get ripped off just for the sake of just doing something right now. And to the credit of guys like, you know, Ryan Berger and Stephen Kolek, Randy Vasquez, they've really stepped up to kind of cover that starting pitching hole that's still going to be a huge deal down the stretch with Yu Darvish and Michael King, depending on whatever the Padres get out of them. But, you know, Kevin Sheets, I never would have believed this if you asked me a few weeks ago. He's actually looked okay out in left field. So
he really has. It's been quite a turnaround for him since he hit the wall, man. He looks like better than serviceable out there.
Yeah, literally hit the wall, and you know, he's bounced back pretty good. But yeah, catcher is a spot I'm really interested in. I know, you know, Gary Sanchez is a guy they've had obviously in the past, and you know, he plays for an Orioles team that doesn't look like it's going anywhere. But you know, who knows? Maybe the Orioles want to give it still a little bit of a run before they totally give up on their season. But I think we're still going to be waiting a little bit, and at the same time, it's Preller. So if he strikes at any time, we shouldn't be surprised.
Before you go, Dennis, the Washington Nationals are in town, and that's going to mean a lot of revisiting the Juan Soto trade, simply because C.J. Abrams is performing like an all-star, James Wood is performing like an all-star, Mackenzie Gore is fringe all-star candidate as well. I think Woods and I both agree. You got Juan Soto. You can never say that you got shortchanged in that deal.
And you got Dylan Cease, and you know, and you turned it into other players as well.
But people will say, hey, look at what those guys could be doing right now. I don't know. I hate to go back, but you know what's going to happen this week. Any just kind of thoughts on this series in particular?
Well, number one, it'll be James Wood's first ever game at Petco. So
never even made it here.
We've seen McKenzie and we see CJ come back and play at Petco, but we haven't seen James Wood. And, you know, right now, obviously, the Padres, maybe their most glaring deficiency is just the lack of power on offense, and he's got maybe some of the easiest opposite field pop I've ever seen. And Jackson Merrill can tell you all about that. I haven't played travel ball with him since they were 14, and he's a tough one for the Padres to let get away. But yeah, I understand your point. At the same time, they were going for it. They thought Fernando Tatis was coming back that year in 2022, and you know, you get Juan Soto, but I do think it's going to be one that stings for a very long time, because if you had, you know, not traded those guys, and yeah, maybe you wouldn't have Dylan Cease, but you would have a lot more flexibility payroll wise and, you know, just asset wise to potentially allocate to other players. You know, who knows who you could have gotten with, you know, that money that you had freed up if you had kept those guys. But yeah, it's something that Preller's always going to do. He's going to go for it. And that's something that I think is maybe a little bit lacking around the game. Not in the best way sometimes, so you understand why he did it. Maybe if he'd gotten Shohei Ohtani instead for those players, it would be a lot better. But, it's Juan Soto at the same time, and, you know, he has the biggest contract in the history of sports now. So testament to James Wood and those guys.
Thanks,
Dennis.
D-Lan.
Really appreciate it. Have a good week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right, and I want to follow up on that, because we'll look ahead to the National Series, some of the pitching matchups here in our final hour, and these guys coming back to town. But AJ Preller wouldn't be AJ Preller if he doesn't make those kind of moves. And I want to get there next year with Ben Woods on the Fan.